pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Is it the Premier League or is it a motel? Vacancy signs are lit up all across England. We'll talk about what's available and who might be heading to a new job. The best gunner isn't in North London. He's actually in Old Trafford. We'll talk about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his walk through fire, and how that turned out last week. And then also, the ban's been lifted and Chelsea's been given their credit card back. The transfer window's going to be wide open, and we're going to talk about who might be heading to Stamford Bridge.
It sounds exciting to me. I can't wait. Let's get the credit card running. What's the spending limit?
There is no limit. It's Roman Abramovich. Now, we have a limit, though. We've only got a few seconds because it's almost time. We're lining up in the tunnel in the Center Circle Studios. We're on the way. It's My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Well, look who's in the podcast studio today. It's the president of Financial Wealth Services and huge Memphis soccer fan, Hal Downing. Hal, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Listen, let's talk about Financial Wealth Services. What do you guys do?
We are a source of capital, almost a matchmaker, if you will, between small, medium, large companies and a source of capital for direct investments for high net worth individuals.
I know for a fact that you've got a ton of experience in real estate and other aspects of the financial industry, decades of experience, and people can trust you with that. How can they pick up the phone and call you?
Number's 901-498-2190.
I know that you're a gigantic soccer fan, and probably the only thing you love more than soccer is helping people out.
Yes. 10% of all gross proceeds in my firm go to the Catholic Diocese here in Memphis, and we're also involved in other charities as well.
All right. What's that phone number again, and do you have an email address?
901-498-2190. Email haldowning7@gmail.com.
That's Hal Downing, president of Financial Wealth Services, 901-498-2190. Hal, thanks for coming in, and thanks for being a supporter of this podcast. Really do appreciate you.
Thank you.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
We're leading off with Champions League because it's do or die, or the Europa League because it's match day six for Tuesday and Wednesday this week. Who's through to the knockout rounds? Who drops to the Europa League? The eight third-place teams all do that. And then who goes home? And there are a few spots left to settle, Brody. It's getting very interesting.
Yeah, I thought we had C kind of... Well, C is in the bag. The top spot for C is in the bag. We still got to find that second place for C. And then one spot left in D, which includes Atletico Madrid.
That could be a giant that could be falling. It's going to be a critical match day six for them. Both spots in Group E are up. Who would imagine that the defending champions... Liverpool are still hanging in there and having to fight on the last day. They're fighting not only with Napoli, but also with Red Bull Salzburg, managed by American Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, that could be really interesting. Of course, you got one in Group F. You either have Inter or Dortmund.
And that's going to be interesting because Inter has to play Barcelona, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that could be the match of death. But, and there's always a big but on this program, either mine or yours.
Well, that mine is... quite filling.
What were we talking about before we were talking about your filling butt?
The spots left. I think we have Barcelona and Inter playing.
Are playing against each other, right? Inter or Dortmund will move on into the knockout stages. Inter will play Barcelona, but they won't have to face Leo Messi and Gerard Piqué because they're being rested after the big thumping they gave in the domestic league over the weekend.
Their season's pretty much wrapped at this point, right? I mean,
they've clinched the knockout stages. They've already won the group. So for them, it would be an injury risk or perhaps a yellow card risk for one or the other.
And the risk is not worth the reward at that point. And you also have one spot in G, which remains as well.
Yep.
So, and as far as where I think the real eyes need to be looking here is Ajax, Valencia, and Chelsea. Because... you've got both spots in Group H and three teams vying for that. So who's left off? And I have a sneaking suspicion it's Chelsea.
Chelsea play Lille in their match this week. Ajax and Valencia go at it. It's conceivable that any of these three get knocked out. And remember, Ajax was a semifinalist last year and took Tottenham to to the brink before falling to Tottenham.
They took him to task, definitely. Yeah. And I think they would take him to task again this year because Ajax seems to understand, this is a big game. Maybe we should play. And it's like, well, why didn't you do that before?
now, is this the only group with two U.S. internationals? Because you got Sergiño Dest for Ajax and you got Pulisic for
Chelsea.
I'm having to do some real quick inventory here. And I think maybe so. This may be the most American of the groups.
Yeah, I think definitely it is. However, that being said, I think Pulisic's charge, if you want to go plus or minus, anyway, has been very neutralized. Since he started playing. I mean, Chelsea, he looked awful in their match this past weekend. And it, not awful because he's been playing bad. They just have figured him out. Where defenses have, you know, kept him from actually making a good run at a ball or doing anything with the ball that is very Pulisic-esque and very creative, you know?
That was an incredibly new word you just created, Pulisic-esque.
Pulisic-esque.
That's going to make a spelling bee for Scripps Howard one day. But we definitely need to visit that. In fact, let's turn our attention now to the English Premier League, and we'll get to Chelsea in just a moment. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we thought this time last week that, man, this could really put some pressure on him because he had a home match to red-hot Tottenham, and then he had to go to the Etihad to play Manchester City in what Man City's been getting the upper hand on for the last couple of seasons. But history turning on a dime here, and here's five or six words I thought I'd never say. Fred had a good week.
It's I would say that very trepidatiously because next week is a whole different outlook on his career.
But how about this? Winning at home 2-1 over Jose and Spurs, and they deserve to win. Spurs got a late goal in like the 85th, 86th minute. I think the score line was a little bit closer than what it actually was. And then going to the Etihad and defeating Man City in the derby there.
Boy, he punked them, too.
He punked them. And all this in spite of having to deal with racial abuse. Fred was getting racially abused.
Yeah.
They found a guy, 41-year-old Man City fan. He got arrested and could be facing some charges and probably even a lifetime ban.
They'll throw the book at him. Yeah. And they'll do that because they need to set a precedence now that – you know, this has gone on long enough. This whole racial malarkey has been going on for too long. And this 41-year-old is going to get the book thrown at him.
Still bizarre how a sport such as soccer, which brings so many people together in basically one language of sport, can be so complex when you have people with thoughts that other people are better than other people. It's crazy.
I don't understand it at all. But something that I don't... have time for is Jose had no time for sorrows as the Tottenham Express rolled again.
Wouldn't that be a great team name for them? For like if they had an indoor team, the Tottenham Express.
It would be cool. Well, of course, I've got some Express gear that I could loan them out. But Harry Kane with a pair of goals. He's got a brace. 9 on the season for him.
You might want to remember that, by the way, when we get to added time.
Okay. Go with Lucas Moura and Son as they just took it to Burnley. When you have a 5-0, you feel bad. Kids are crying in the corner. Daddy, why did they do it?
At that point, Jose's saying, okay, 7 passes before you shoot, 8 passes before you shoot. By the way, a 13-year-old was also detained after the match for racially abusing Son.
Yeah.
Who's of Asian descent. So this is getting out of hand.
That's why I said you're going to see some major, major fines from these regular Joe Schmoes and jail time, and boy, it's going to be bad.
I think for the 13-year-old, probably looking at counseling.
More than likely.
Some sort of protocol to go through, but those were two big matches, but that was after the weekend got off to a blazing hot start. If you got up early, you were in for a treat. Duncan Ferguson, who is a legend at Everton, is a caretaker manager because the previous manager had been canned.
Yeah.
And Marco Silva, by the way, he does have a name. Marco Silva canned last week, and we thought that was going to be imminent.
Yeah, I mean, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
Early last week. Then it did happen where Silva got canned over there at Everton. But it didn't seem to matter much.
Duncan
and
Ferguson
said better.
Yeah. Ferguson came out firing brimstone, led the Toffees out against Chelsea at Goodison Park. And he thought, okay, well, this is going to be a big challenge. You know, Chelsea had a rough last several days. You thought, okay, well, Chelsea's probably
they're going to bounce back. Right.
Well, they didn't. Your boy Rick Carlison, one of your faves, scored within the first 10 minutes to go with a pair of Calvert-Lewin goals.
Nice pass. Said no one ever to Rick Carlison.
He does. You don't think he passes, do you?
He doesn't pass my test. He's got a guy. Okay, Rick Carlison could have had two really, really beautiful, magnificent assists in this match, by the way, and did not. He could have passed it within the 18-yard box, and he just passes up the pass to take a wild shot that goes off the mark whatsoever. I don't even think you list it as a shot on the Richter scale. But
I'm trying to back him up and look at the top assist leaders in the league, and yeah, you're right, he doesn't get assists.
Yeah, he doesn't assist.
He's had two this year.
Woohoo!
Which ties him, by the way, for...
Thanks for playing.
39th. He's tied with Andy Carroll for 39th.
Again!
And Jorginho.
Yeah! Jorginho is another one who'd take much rather shoot it at midway, at the midfield line, as opposed to, you know, taking the pass off.
Bottom line, Everton actually got the new manager bounce. They won 3-1 over Chelsea. And we've had all this action. We hadn't even talked about the top two teams yet, so let's get to that. The first 30 minutes, you could have taken the nap as Liverpool were taking on Bournemouth. Not much happening there. But after about 30 minutes, they finally decided, okay, let's play some ball.
Off mic, I said, did you watch that Liverpool match? That was the boringest thing I've ever watched in my life. It was awful.
I think once they saw that...
the grass grow that they decided to play?
I think they decided once they saw other teams starting to score, they're like, wait a second.
Hey.
We've got a lead in this league. We better start popping in some goals. And that's exactly what they did. Mo Salah, Naby Keita, and Oxlade-Chamberlain all chipped in as they shut down Bournemouth 3-0. But maybe the most fun team in all of the Premier League to watch right now has got to be Leicester City. Vardy, he likes to party.
8th consecutive minute for Vardy. Right?
Yep. And that's the second time he's done that. Here's a bit of trivia for you on the spur of the moment, Brody. Mm-hmm. He is the second player in Premier League history to have two different stretches of 8 consecutive matches with a goal. Just take a wild guess who it might be. I will tell you, this is a guy that has, he played in the last 15 years or so.
Well, that narrows it down to about 3,000 people. 8? Consecutive matches with a goal?
Yes.
Oh boy. Does he still currently play?
Think during the period of where it was essentially Manchester United, Arsenal, and Chelsea going.
Ooh. I have no idea.
I'll give you one more clue. Dutchman.
Still drawn a blank.
Ruud van Nistelrooy, Manchester United, did it twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I guess it would be Nistelrooy, yeah. All right.
So Vardy in good company there. He scored for the
makes sense now that you said it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they were running up some goals back in the day. But he's the second player to do that in Premier League history. In fact, he scored twice. Heck, even Johnny Evans scored as they beat Aston Villa 4-1. But by the way, Bob Evans still greater than Johnny Evans because they serve a great, nice, piping hot breakfast.
Speaking of still being great, Liverpool still leading, right? 46?
Yeah. And then Leicester.
Everybody else.
Yep, it's everybody else. Leicester kept pace, but they're still 8 points back with 38. Manchester City at third. 14 points back. Who would have thunk that at 32? Chelsea at 29. Manchester United and Wolves look out, though, at 24. I know they're way off the pace of the league lead, but they are going to be at least clawing for either that last Champions League spot or a Europa spot, and then Tottenham right behind them at 23, and then your bottom
three. Watch out for those Spurs. Those Spurs could propel themselves quite easily, I think, with that team that they've got.
I thought they recovered nicely after falling to Man U at the beginning of the week to come back at the weekend. They look good. And then Southampton and... Watford and what is my last abbreviation here?
Who's not the next team? Not gonna make it in.
Not gonna make it in. It is. Wait, it's not Nottingham Forest.
No,
it's who is this?
Not gonna happen.
It is. Hang on. It's Southampton. Oh, it should have been Norwich, and then Watford.
Norwich.
I'm sorry, Canary fans.
No, you're right with not. Like, not going to happen.
Not going to do it. And that does it for the Premier League.
Not going to do it.
Serie A, you got Inter and Roma played a scoreless draw.
People paid full price for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So jeez. Lukaku not scoring again. Now, Juventus, that gave them a golden opportunity because Inter took over the league lead the previous week. Juventus with a win would have taken back over first place. Ronaldo scored a goal, and there was a double save off of a penalty kick by Wojciech Szczesny. Remember the former Arsenal keeper? He played well. But... Lazio was energized. They went ahead and upset Juventus 3-1.
I wonder what the over, like, the record is when Ronaldo scores, especially like a earlier goal. We're not going to say it was an early goal because it wasn't. But what is the over under when Ronaldo scores? That seems to energize his team to oh yeah, we have to do great. Ronaldo's on our team, you know. What's the over-under when he scores is when they lose? That's got to be very little, right?
Given that he has played with Real and with Juventus and, of course, before that, Manchester United, I would think there's got to be at least an 80% success rate.
Yeah, when he at least him scoring one. I think your stat is that when he scores, it's a good sign. Not today.
No, not today. Lazio looked really good in that, and in fact, that helps them secure third place and have a nice grip on that. Inter at 38 points. With that draw, they clawed an extra point further away from Juventus. Juventus with 36, Lazio at 33, Roma and Cagliari at 29. We move on over to Spain, and Real Madrid continued to put pressure on Barcelona as co-leaders as Karim Benzema added the late winner to beat Espanyol 2-0. But then Leo Messi says, well, whatever you can do, I can do better.
Watch me now. He got himself a little hat trick, right? To Griezmann and Suarez's goals to punish
Is that Malarkey?
Malarkey.
Mallorca?
Yeah. Mallorca. To 5-2, right?
Ooh. So Messi and Piqué, as we mentioned earlier, are going to rest in the Champions League because they just got too tired running circles around Mallorca.
There's no reason to play the next match. I mean, you're going to risk an injury. You're going to risk a card. You can't say card. Messi's not going to do anything. He's not the Messi of recent where he's going to say something to somebody's mother. You know what I'm
saying? Angry Messi like broken Jeff Hardy?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's gone.
little random wrestling reference there. Sevilla dropped two more points off the pace. They drew with Osasuna. They should have won that match. Could not get the job done. Just some poor finishing on their part. Just looking at the top of the league, Barca and Real Madrid at 34 points. But Barca, winning by three, actually added another to their goal differential. They have three better goal differential than Real Madrid. So technically, Real Madrid's actually in second. Sevilla in third with 31. Sociedad and Getafe at 27. Then Atletico Bilbao. Atletico Madrid and Valencia at 26.
Sevilla should be very disappointed at that ending, though. They had too many chances there at the end.
They did. Missed opportunities for them.
That was awful.
That could cost them eventually maybe a European spot or a good European spot down the line. So time to turn to the Bundesliga, and we turn it over to you, Brody.
My boys, the Gladbags. They got the zippers in place. And they also got the braces in place, too. They got a second half added time PK from...
Have you been helping at that one, brother?
Man, thank you.
I'll help you. I'll do half of it, Rami.
Thanks. That didn't even help. Bendis Beanie?
Bensabiani. Close.
Yep. Anyway, they held off Bayern Munich 2-1. Which, by the way, I think at the end of the whole kit and caboodle here, when we're handing out awards, Gladbag, yes, well, they're going to on top of the whole league, right? I think they get another award, and that is an Oscar.
Really?
There are more guys that go down on that pitch that are just whining and carrying on. And here in a couple matches on the podcast, we're going to have a trainer in here and has the different sounds that they make when they go down, right? Oh, there's a lot of faking going on in that Gladbag.
This athletic trainer is kind of like the soccer whisperer, can understand the different sounds for sure. But Borussia Mönchengladbach able to hold off Bayern Munich 2-1. Then Red Bull Leipzig cruise 3-1 against Hoffenheim. And it was another tough weekend.
How do you get Bensabini out of that, by the way?
Bensabini. Bensabini.
Bensabini.
Rami Bensabini. And I looked this up on YouTube, and none of those broadcasts are really in English. So, I mean, it just zips by, so I'm just slowing it down.
Slow down. That's brutal. Anyway.
And then played it backwards, and
that helped.
Paul McCartney's dead.
Oh, speaking of getting pummeled over the weekend, boy, our U.S. men's national team keeper, Zach Steffen, whoa, gosh. His Dusseldorf club was Dumbledorfed. They just registered two shots, and could you even count them as shots?
Are you saying that the goalkeeper just sat in a lawn chair?
I mean, they didn't even need him. He could have come on as another attacker, and goal would have been safe.
Well, looking at the final score, maybe he did, because Dortmund got how many shots?
23.
Jeez.
So 23-2.
Yeah.
So odds are that Dortmund won this match easily.
5-0. That, I mean, it was just a drumming. And it should have been like 30-0. 10 on target for them. None on goal, though, Dusseldorf. None on goal. And I don't even know how they registered two shots if you could have counted them as shots.
As long as they didn't go for throw-ins, their shots.
Oh, my gosh. It was so brutal. Anyway, he's a frequent transfer target. Jordan Sancho, pair of goals in that one. Yeah, he needs to get out. I'm talking about Zach Steffen.
Sancho's fine at Dortmund.
Sancho's fine at Dortmund.
We'll talk about him in the transfer window. There could be a huge, huge ransom paid to get his services.
Steffen doesn't get any help back there. And it's just brutal. I mean, he's getting pummeled with balls back in the keeper spot there. And he's looking at his defense going, guys, just clear a ball. And I feel for him.
I've seen ducks treated more humanely, the metal ones at the county fair at the shooting range.
Lord, I mean.
He's a sitting duck back there, isn't he?
It's brutal.
Yeah. He's a good one, though, and hopefully he'll continue to grow by that.
I hope he doesn't get frustrated where he's at now.
I don't know how you couldn't be. I mean, it's, you know, being a youngster.
Yeah.
I would think that's got to be frustrating. He's probably...
He'd do better off coming back to the States.
Well, he's on loan from Manchester City. And they're trying to get him seasoned. Well,
he's getting peppered back there is what he's getting. Yeah,
you know, can you go put me on Norwich or something?
Yeah, somewhere where I'm not going to get beat up.
Borussia Mönchengladbach still leads by 1 point in the Bundesliga. Leipzig at 30, so it's 31-30. Dortmund jumps to third with 26. Schalke fourth. Freiburg and Leverkusen all tied with 25 points. Quick mention for Liga MX, their Apertura 2019 is about to come to a conclusion. It'll be two legs, December 26th and 29th, and Monterrey against Club America. They've booked their spots in that, and that'll be coming up in just a couple of weeks. So there's your look around the world in
their
the
finals
leagues.
Are the day after Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh. Ho, ho, ho.
I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, you're going to eat leftovers and watch, you know.
What's Liga MX?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Let's talk about the transfer window. Let's peer in there. We talked about the credit card's been given back to Chelsea. Their ban has been lifted.
That's a metal card, too, brother.
And we hear that Frank Lampard has about £150 million to work with. And we mentioned Jadon Sancho as a possible target, but there's a few others that might be on the wish list, too.
Well, I don't think there would be any shock if Palace's Wilfried Zaha goes along, right, with Jordan Sancho.
Yeah.
Timo Werner.
However you want to say it.
Yeah.
Timo Werner.
And you got Chilwell in there too, Ben Chilwell. They get a call from Stamford Bridge. So that could be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That could make that team really round.
The question for Zaha, I think, is, and he's a star at Palace, is he going to be able to get guaranteed matches at Chelsea with their youth movement? Is there enough playing time for everybody that Lampard wants to have?
I'm going to throw this out there. Does Pulisic look frustrated? And since he's been back, does he look frustrated at Chelsea? Enough frustration in order to leave?
No. I think with 5 goals and some assists, and I think with Tammy Abraham hopefully coming back soon, I think he's getting rotated in, and I think he's actually building confidence. I think he's going to be fine there.
I think so too, especially if a Jordan Sancho comes in.
That Jordan is his sister. That's Jadon Sancho.
Oh, Jadon.
His twin sister.
Yeah. If Sancho comes in, though, right, to play the other side, oh boy, that could be really, really creative.
It could be very creative for them, and it's not a setup that they've had in quite some time.
No.
And if anybody knows how to work a midfield, it would be Frank Lampard, one of the best to ever play that position in the Premier League. Let's move up north, up to Liverpool, as Everton are rumored to want Vito Pereira as their next permanent manager after canning Marco Silva. Pereira is currently in China on a very lucrative deal with Shanghai, and it might be a challenge to procure his services. They're going to have to open up the checkbook to him and probably to Shanghai to get him. Now, he is one of just a few possibilities that could end up at Goodison Park.
Could that be a place where Pochettino lands?
Could be. It seems like for now he's kind of playing it coy and hasn't jumped at anything too seriously, although it's rumored that he was at the Manchester United-Man City match
right
over the weekend.
Of course, I'm sure he left without a potential job in hand after the job.
Yeah, I sincerely doubt that. Right. I sincerely doubt that he even got looked at sideways. But I honestly, that would be really interesting. And especially with Silva now on the table, start the coaching carousel here. Silva could end up at an Arsenal.
He could.
And which would be rather interesting because I don't think it would be a step down for Arsenal. It could be really interesting here, this little coaching carousel.
There are a few targets. We mentioned last week that possibly David Moyes could be into the mix.
Yeah.
Not only at Everton, but West Ham, of course, has struggled a lot.
Which is true, too.
This season. It has been rough. And David Moyes managed there for 6 or 7 months. So he's looking at perhaps an opportunity at West Ham, perhaps an opportunity at Everton.
West Ham, though, is showing a lot of patience, though, with Pellegrini at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if they make a move, especially now, but going forward, Pellegrini might be their guy at least to the end of the season.
Pellegrini's won the league with Manchester City. He does have a winning pedigree. Also throw this name into the mix as well. Carlo Ancelotti, the manager at Napoli. He has managed at Chelsea. He could be a look. He could be a look from Everton. He could get a look from Arsenal.
Right.
Maybe even. I don't think he would go to a West Ham, but that's another name that could be thrown out there as well. And let's not forget at Arsenal. Let's not forget Patrick Vieira, who admits, yes, he would be interested in that job. And let's not forget Arteta as well. Although perhaps Manchester City might want to sew him up long term in case Pep leaves.
Well, and Arsenal has a couple of dilemmas on them. Filling their manager gig permanently, right? And then figuring out what to do with their star. Here, I'm a Bayad.
Yeah.
I'm a bad man.
Yeah, he is a bad man. In fact, you may want to remember that name come out of time. if Aubameyang left without transferring or re-upping his deal by June, he could very well play out the following season, 2020 and 2021, and then leave Arsenal with Arsenal getting nothing for him. He could leave on a free.
That could be very dangerous, not for I'm a bad man, but I think for Arsenal because they could just be SOL come the end of the season.
At this point, I think Aubameyang calls his shots on where he would want to go, and at this point, Arsenal may just want to listen for the fact that they can get a bit of money out of this rather than roll the dice of him holding them hostage come summertime.
And I think Arsenal would be willing to do that because, hey, listen, let's Phoenix rise. Let's burn it all down. Let's start anew, you know? Get a new manager in here. Let's get basically a new team put together. Let's rally around a young star in here and let's see what happens.
How would you feel about Arsene Wenger coming back?
Well, I mean, that would be burning it all down, but with the bones still in place, I guess, at this point. I don't know. I don't know if you'd want him back.
You think maybe the game's changed too much?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at this point, Arsenal literally has to burn it all down. You know, you have to start completely anew and look completely different.
We'll know something maybe in the next 45 days. If not, then possibly by the start of June. But things are definitely not in a stable state out at the Emirates. Well, here we go again. Word is Real Madrid may be interested in a blockbuster deal. This time, Gareth Bale and James Rodriguez for Paul Pogba in a swap next month. You would think there'd be some cash sent to Madrid on this too, right? On a 2-for-1?
Yeah. Yeah, a very large stack of cash, or poundage, if you will.
Financially, it's understood that Madrid needs to make up about 150 to 160 million pounds over the next fiscal year to break even at this point. They've done a lot of spending, and this could be one way to do it. So there's a look through your transfer window. And speaking of Real Madrid, as we talk about injuries, well, what do you know? What great timing. Real's James Rodriguez should be back in early January from his knee injury just in time.
How convenient.
And look at Paul Pogba getting ready to go. Should be back just in time.
convenient.
Or a transfer. In more serious news, Atletico Madrid's Diego Costa, of course, he's been out for over a month. He's still recovering from a neck injury. He's expected to be out until at least the beginning of February. And we wish him all the best in his recovery. They've never said whether or not he's actually had surgery on one of his discs. They said that it's probably necessary, but they've never confirmed one way or the other if he's actually had that surgery.
Whenever you start talking about neck or spinal or anything along those lines, I get cringy. I'm like, how serious is that?
Yeah, it's a big deal. And, of course, he's not getting any younger, and I'm sure that may cost him a deal, you know, maybe one final deal in La Liga. And then finally, U.S. men's national team youngster Josh Sargent is out for a few weeks with a hamstring injury over with Werder Bremen. We wish him a speedy recovery. And then finally, some good news. Megan Rapinoe named Sports Person of the Year for Sports Illustrated for 2019. Congratulations. Yes. On
much
that.
Deserved.
Yeah, you're up to date. Coming up, he was once an NASL, MISL, and ASI.
AI?
EI, uh-oh. He was once an NASL, MISL, and AISA referee. Now his donut shop is seen all over the cable TV shows as one of the best in the world. Don DeWeese from Gibson's Donuts joins us next on My Three Subs.
Do we saint him now?
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
If you own a company or if you're a decision maker within a company, I think you're going to want to know about Ease of Approval. EaseofApproval.com is the website. Ease of Approval is a communication tool that is web-based. It's designed to replace email where there's an approval process. It's very flexible. You can use it internally or you can use it business to business. Look, email is great, but it was not designed to handle sensitive workflow. With email, you're just one delete click away from losing vital information. Ease of Approval's dashboard is transparent, which means all the users are going to be focused on what's important, managing their workflow, not wasting valuable time trying to track down a valuable email. And Ease of Approval offers real-time oversight. You can see all the outstanding work that's required in the dashboard, and it's flexible. It's great for single companies or multi-divisional organizations. And Ease of Approval goes with you into those production meetings with real-time performance analytics, meaning you can show everybody who's delivering their goods and services on time and who is falling behind. Oh, and your finance and compliance people are going to love this too, because Ease of Approval provides a transparent audit trail and also simple invoice reconciliation into Excel. Accountability has never been more affordable and simpler. Go to EaseofApproval.com and find out what they can do to help you stay on top of your organization. Ease of Approval. Accountability made simple.